James chapter 3. We got to finish up the tongue today. And so I've shortened this so that we could go eat because today is picnic day. So give me about an hour and 45 minutes and we'll be done. That's better than 2 hours. The Untamable Tongue, part 3. Four pastors were all fishing on a boat out in the middle of the lake. And one pastor said, you know, the Bible says that we're to confess our faults to one another and pray for one another. And so maybe we should do that. So that pastor, he said, you know, I struggle at times with gambling. And unfortunately, I've gambled away my entire check and I've had to lie to my wife. And oh, it's just, pray for me. And so the second pastor, he said, I'm just lazy. I don't like to preach. I don't like to do this. I don't know why I'm a pastor. He said, so I just buy all my messages. I just get them offline and then I just read them as somebody else has done them. So pray for my church because they need good growth. The third pastor said, well, he said, we have communion all the time and, well, we use real wine and I keep a couple cases on hand and sometimes I get into that a little too much and don't know when to say when. And so after the three had stopped, they were waiting for the fourth one to give his explanation, and he didn't say a word. Well, it took a while, but the other three had to woo him over into spilling his guts, and finally he shook his head and he goes, I'm real sorry, guys. I'm real sorry. I struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. Our tongues get us in trouble all the time. And so, James is a book of tests. We need to test our faith. We need to test our faith, see whether it's real, whether it's genuine, whether you even have faith at all. And so we've come to the point where James says the tongue is a test. We must control our tongue. We need to, like Ralphie in the Christmas story, we ought to have our mouths washed out with soap. That's for sure. Because our tongue, as we said, will condemn us in a greater sense. It'll condemn us in a greater sense. So don't start out to be a teacher with as soon as possible without having some kind of sense of seriousness that is involved. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, but I say to you that every idle word, every useless word that men speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Our tongue needs to be controlled because it has the power to control us. Not only control us, but it can control other people. We take little bits, and we put them in horses' mouths. Matter of fact, right over their tongue. And we can tell that horse, and we can make that horse go wherever and do whatever we want it to do. And so, it has the power to control. Last week we said that the tongue is very dangerous because it can corrupt. What a little spark can just destroy thousands upon thousands of acres of forest. And so it has the capacity to corrupt the whole body. And the tongue is humanly untamable. We can't tame it humanly, but God can. And that's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. So it must be controlled. Let's get into this. Look here at James 9. Let's finish our test of the tongue. Verse 9 through 11. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. James writes, with it, talking about our tongue, with the tongue we bless our God and Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Ronnie Kirschman, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please?
Bless the food, bless the people in there.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right. So we got to talk about the tongue because we're about to go out there and have a good time of fellowship and eat and all this wonderful stuff. And I don't want you verbally bashing anybody else, especially your pastor. So look there at verse 9. Look at the first part. James says, with the tongue, talking about the tongue, with it, we bless God the Father. That is what we should be doing. That is what God designed our tongue to do, is to bless God. Matter of fact, what is the whole purpose of a Christian? Oh, you guys are getting it. That's awesome. That's awesome. One of these days it'll all be in unison. The whole purpose of a Christian is to give God glory. Where's that found? Okay, we'll work on that one. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul says this, therefore, whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you're having a picnic, whether you're here, whether you're singing, whether you're talking, whether you're listening to the Democratic debate, doesn't matter what you do, do all to the glory of God. That is the whole purpose of a Christian, is to give God glory. And the tongue should be used to give God glory as well. And the reason that God created us and created our tongue is so that he would be praised, that he would be praised by it. Now, listen to this. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, there's three blessed words there, two blessed, one blessing. Actually, there's two in the Greek. We translate them blessed and blessing. And the word blessed be the God and Father is from the Greek word eulogetos. And that Greek word means to speak well of. Matter of fact, this is where we get our English word eulogy from. What do you do at a funeral? You speak well of the deceased. And so this is the idea. This is where we get that word from. And blessed there, that eulogetos in the Greek is blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So blessed is to speak well of God. And then he says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So that word is a little different. They both come from the same root word, and that word is eulogia. And that word means to be happy. It means to praise. It means to be benefited from, to have benefited from. And so two different words, but basically the same thing. Listen, when the word blessed is applied to God, it has the sense of praise or speaking well of. But when it is applied to man, it denotes our state of happiness because we have benefited from God, because he's the source of all goodness. Amen? So when we say blessed be God, we're speaking well of. When we say we're blessed by God because that's where all goodness comes from. The Jews understood this. They understood God created them to praise him. And that's what our whole purpose was. Psalm chapter 71, verse 8 says this. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. You want to control your tongue? That's where it starts right there. Praising God all day long. Praise God. Praise God. When's the last time you woke up and went into your day and praised God? That's how you control your tongue. Just praise God all day long. They knew that. I just want to speak praises to you, God, all day. You want to start controlling your tongue? It starts with his praises. Secondly, Psalm 69:30. The psalmist says, I will praise the name of God. Okay, same thing. Up with a little twist. With a song. I will praise the name of God with a song. And I will magnify him with thanksgiving. There is probably two, three of the greatest things that you can do throughout a day. How do you glorify God? By praising him all day long, singing praises to him, and just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. And then sing it. What an amazing thing. And so, you want to control the tongue? Praise God all day. Sing praises to God all day. And thank God all day. That's probably one of the greatest ways that you can control your tongue. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's what God wants us to do, is just thank him. Thank him and praise him for everything. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what comes our way. And this is why people are slowly turning away from God. Number one, they're not praising Him. They don't praise God, and when you don't praise God, you begin to stray away from that. Secondly, they don't sing praises to God. When's the last time you sung a hymn of praise to God throughout your day? I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. You know I'd never lie to you. I love the oldies, 50s and 60s. Sometimes I jammed a little 80s, you know, come on. My daughter's got hooked on it too, so. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to get rid of that stuff and you just got to praise God. Because if you don't, that stuff will continue to, it'll control your mind eventually. And then you won't want to listen to praises to God. Because you know why? Paul says in Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God. They didn't praise God. They didn't give God praise. They didn't sing praises to God. Nor were they what? Thankful. You know, when you don't praise God, you don't sing praises to God, you won't be thankful either. And we have a generation, not only in America, but all across the world, that is very unthankful. Unthankful people. What a shame. God has given us so much. He's even allows the rain and the sun to be poured out on the just as well as the unjust. Amazing. God made us so that we would praise His name. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah says in 43 verse 21, or God says actually, this people I have formed for myself. And they shall declare my what? That's why God made the tongue. So that we would praise His name. So, with our tongue, we should be blessing God. That is what He created us to. You want to control your tongue? Bless God. Praise God. You know? When your deck falls down, when people are sitting, I say, thank God. Praise God. God's still good. When your chair falls over and the leg breaks, whatever, doesn't matter. You step in a little mud puddle and it's actually deeper in your thought and you go up to your knee. Praise God. God's good. You want to control your tongue? Praise God and be thankful. But in look at verse 9 again. He says this, James says in 3:9, with it, we bless God and Father. Oh, God is so good. And with the same mouth that you kiss your wife with, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Do we understand that? Oh, there's the hypocrite we know so well. You know? You love God. Oh, I love God. God's good. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. You miserable creep. What the heck do you think? Same mouth. Same mouth. With the same mouth, we bless God, and yet we curse men who is made in the image of God. It's an amazing thing. Somebody pulls out in front of you. Somebody cuts you off. Somebody pulls out in the fast lane and goes 12 miles an hour in a 70, and you just want to tell him he's number one. And yeah, you want to just tip his car over and go in and cut his heart out. I mean, it's amazing. But here's the idea. You go down the road and you go, Lord, just get him. I hope that guy gets a flat tire. Yeah, just let something be in the road and bust his tire, and then I can go around him and it'll be all good. Yeah, I used to drive with Frito-Lay and the guy that I used to vacation drive for his route. He used to not say stuff about the car, but for some reason he hated dogs. And somebody would pull out in front of us, or somebody would, you know, go 10 and a 45 or something, and he'd go, boy, I hope your dog dies. I'm like, whoa, calm down, my D. Don't, wow, that's mean and vindictive. So, but here's the idea. It says, with it we bless God the Father, and with it we curse men. Now that word curse doesn't mean you're not cussing at him. That's not the idea. It means to wish evil on somebody. No, am I speaking in Latin or something? Tell them we're about half hour, we'll be done. Just take a message for me. It's okay. Am I not doing a good enough job? All right. Let's redirect. Wow. Be a good time. Make sure you got your cell phone shut off at this time. All right. So redirect. With the same tongue, we bless God and we curse men. And that word in the Greek, curse, means to wish evil on somebody. You're wishing evil on somebody who is created after the likeness of God. It's an amazing thing. Even fallen, sinful man is made after the likeness of God. We are made after the same as Adam, because Adam is now a sinner, right? He sinned, Eve sinned, they conceived, they give birth to sinners. And from that moment forward, everybody that is born of a man and a woman is a sinner. Period. But even a sinner that is created, conceived in sin, and is given birth to, is still created in the likeness of God. Do you understand that? And so it raises the question, in what sense? In what sense are we created in the image of God if I'm a sinner? Let me give you just briefly. In that man, like God, is rational, is personal, is moral, is self-conscious. Man has a will, a conscience. We reason. Man can know. Man can love. Man can act on the basis of a rational thought and motive and intent. He thinks, he acts, he feels just like God. No other created being is made like that. Only man. And that is in the sense of what we are like God. So, hypocrites. In verse 10, James says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. They shouldn't be this way. Matter of fact, the Pharisees back in Jesus' day, you know what they did? Oh, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of... Oh, we love you, God. Oh, we love you. Put Jesus to death. Was that not God? Out of one mouth, one side of their mouth, they're blessing God. Out of the other side, they want to put God to death. How amazing. Same mouth. Peter. Jesus asked Pete, he says, hey, Pete, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Bold statement. Bold statement. Right? A couple weeks later, he goes, I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. Yeah, nope. I don't know that guy. Amazing. With the same mouth, we bless, and with the same mouth, we curse. Paul even got into trouble. This is amazing. Paul's one of the greatest Christians there ever was. Oh, Paul, oh, I wish I was like Paul. Well, he stuck his foot in his mouth quite a few times. Here's one of them, Acts chapter 21, verse 1 to 3. Paul was looking earnestly at the council, and he said, men and brethren, and he was always doing this. He always said, you know, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. I have not, you know, not given you the whole counsel of God and all this stuff. And then he comes up and he says, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest, Ananias, he commanded somebody who was standing about him to just strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit and judge me according to the law. And you command me to be struck to the law, contrary to the law? So he called him a whitewashed wall. Here's the idea. And a few verses later, he goes through this whole discourse because he realizes that Ananias was the high priest. And Jehovah God sets the high priest up. So he was talking against somebody that was God's anointed. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing when you go against God's anointed. So Paul has to eat a little crow here. We do the same things. Well, I have to say it about our president. Not our president, all of our presidents. Because all of our presidents are under attack. Matter of fact, they're attacking Abraham Lincoln and they're attacking George Washington. So let me give you something. When we talk about people, we better be careful what comes out of our mouth. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, actually four times in the book of Daniel, it says this exact same thing. But in Daniel 4, 17, Daniel says, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. Essentially, God elects kings, God establishes kings, God tears down kings, and God elects presidents. It doesn't matter 50 years ago if you like Carter, Nixon, Reagan, LBJ. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that's your personal favorite or not. God elected him for that specific time to be set up and establish his rule and did his plan. So number one, don't verbally bash your president, because number one, he's created in the image of God. And number two, you're talking against God's anointed. Doesn't matter who it is. Do you understand that the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar, nobody could go against Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know why? Because it was God's anointed. It was God's chosen. Do you get that fact? We say, boy, Nebuchadnezzar, boy, you look at all the things that he did. He destroyed. He was horrible. He did all kinds of bad things. Yes, I know that. And God told Israel, if you do this, I'll bless you. And if you do this, there's going to be a curse upon you. There's going to be consequences. And Israel didn't do what they were supposed to, and there was consequences. And Babylon came in to reap those consequences. And nobody could go against Babylon, because that was God's anointed nation. Israel is the apple of God's eye, we know that. But God can choose a nation to rise up against another nation. And that's exactly what he did. We forget this fact. David was anointed king over Israel. Did he sit on the throne at first? Well, why not? Samuel said, you're the king. I'm anointing you king. Because he said, I'm not laying a finger against God's anointed. If God wants me king, he's going to establish it. And he went in hiding against King Saul. Even though Samuel and God told him, you're the king. He didn't do one thing until God eliminated King Saul. He didn't lay a hand. They were in the cave, and Saul's in there doing his business. And one of the guys said, hey, he can't see us. Let's take him. Let's take him out right now. And David said, nope. How can you lay a hand against God's anointed? How can you do that? David understood the fact that these people were set up by God. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to verbally bash somebody who's created in the image of God and somebody God has established. Matter of fact, Absalom was like this. Absalom was King David's son. He was real tall. The Bible says he was a handsome man, long hair. And so, not that long hair makes you handsome, but just saying, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But he tore the kingdom in half. And he went and he would sit in the gates and he would talk to the people and he would try to woo them over. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 4, he says this. Absalom says, Oh, that you would make me judge in the land. And everybody that had any kind of suit or any cause, you could come to me and I'd give you justice. Oh, you know, David's king, but if I was king, I'd do whatever you guys wanted. Oh, he's king, but if I were king, then you could come to me and I would give you guys justice. I would do what's best for you. And by that kind of talk with his mouth, he wooed enough people over that he established himself as king. Enough so that David had to run and flee for his life. You remember that story? Go back and look that up. Speaking or bad-mouthing rulers goes against what God says. Because God makes people. We are created in his image. And absolutely from the fact that God establishes every person who's in control. Not only as far as the president goes, but everybody as far as your bosses. How many love to badmouth your bosses? Don't raise your hand. Put your hand down, Matt. Just kidding. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. Today, that would be like employee-employer. Because back then, it was slave-servant type of relationship. Today, that would be employee-employer type of relationship. Here's the idea. Don't just be good to the ones that are good to you. Be good and talk good about the ones that are harsh as well. Does that make sense? It's funny how people love to badmouth their bosses. They love to badmouth their fellow workers. They love to badmouth everybody that's in charge. It's amazing. Can I tell you something? If God wanted you to be the boss, you'd be the boss. Right? So if God doesn't want you to be the boss, stop complaining about the one he's put over you. Pray for him. Pray for her. whoever that may be, and speak well of them. Doesn't matter what they do. It depends on what you do. Romans 12:18, Paul says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. That means you have the power and ability to talk good about everybody. You can always find good in somebody, right? If we followed biblical examples, our workplaces would be a lot better, wouldn't they? Wow. That goes for preachers, not us. I mean, I'm not talking about not us specifically. But Hebrews 13:17, the writer of Hebrews says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Do you know, me and Pastor Matt, we study intensely so that we can make sure that no false teaching comes among God's people. We do whatever we can do to watch out for your souls so that you don't get led astray, as we will have to give an account. And I believe even harsher than just teachers, because we have a much more, I don't say important because we all have important jobs, but a much more severe judgment on what's going to come upon us because of what we are giving you. And the Bible says, be submissive to those that have ruler. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Listen, we need your support, we need your love, and we need your prayers. We don't need you bad-mouthing us. Because it would be great to serve a church with joy, with the people love and excitement and prayers, as opposed to grief when it comes from grumbling and complaining and all kinds of things that happen throughout all churches around the world. Some people have the Absalom syndrome. Why is the pastor doing that? Why is the youth pastor doing this? Why is Danny doing that? Why is he doing this? Well, if I do this, if he was, well, I'd do that. If he, well, he'd, well, why is he doing that? Why is he going to do that? Why are we having it over there? Why are we having it back here? Why is it going to be inside? It's hot outside. Why is he doing this? Why is he just having hamburgers and hot dogs? Why can't we have chicken too? Because I'm watching my girlish figure. And why is he blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Not to be rude, not to be mean. I'm just being biblical. If God wanted you to be the pastor, you'd be standing here. Pray for your pastors. Support them so that we can do our jobs with joy. Because we love you. Listen, this isn't right. Our mouth should be blessing God, not cursing men. Shouldn't be like that. Verse 11, he goes on to say, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same opening? Well, obviously the answer is no. Obviously it's absolutely, they can't do that. Then verse 12, he says, can a fig tree, my brethren, can they bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. And of course, the answer is no again. Absolutely not. There's no way that that can be done. James says to the true believer, if you are a true believer, you will be manifest in your speech. A fig must have a fig tree at its source. A grape must have a grapevine at its source. An olive must have an olive tree at its source. Salt water has to have some kind of salt at its source. Sweet water has to have sweet water at its source. Bitter words come from a bitter heart. Critical words come from a critical heart. And unloving words come from a heart where the love of Christ is not found. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, John says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If God loved you, you ought to be loving other people. And that should be coming forth with what you say out of your mouth. It's an important thing to be careful what you say. Jesus says in Luke 6:43-45, talking about the tree, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know exactly where it comes from, because it comes right from here. It comes from your heart. If you want to, how many want to love life and see good days? Is that what you? I guess everybody would. Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says this. For he who would love life and see good days, okay, there you go, same thing. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. You want to love life and have good days? Stop speaking evil. Stop speaking deceit. Matter of fact, praise God with your lips. Sing praises with your lips and be thankful. Just be thankful for whatever you have. It does not matter. Paul says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know what? When that guy cuts you off and he's doing 12 miles an hour, that may be a 90-year-old lady that's late to her doctor's appointment and she needs a shot or she's going to die. And she's getting wore down. I don't know. But you don't know what that person's going through in the car in front of you. That person is created in the image of God. Shouldn't run your mouth about God's image bearers. You ought to pray for that person. Doesn't matter who that person is. President, your mayor, your senator, your whatever. We need to pray for those people. And we need to speak good of them. Show them something different on our end. Show them how wonderful God is. Might make all the difference in the world. Let me close with this. Paul says in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with a little salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, in all of Paul's letters, he opens up with this phrase right here. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Every one of his letters, from Romans to Philemon, is all grace and peace. Grace means the kindness of God toward undeserving people. Folks, if it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't be anything. If it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't be anything. And then he says peace. If it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't have peace. I wouldn't have peace with God, and I wouldn't have the peace of God. Peace with God, peace of God. So how do we control our tongues that does so much damage? Well, we can't tame it, but God can. And the only way we can do that is to remember God's grace, which he has given to us, undeserving sinners. And because of his grace, you now have peace. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 107:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You know, if you just said that with praise from your mouth, the next step would be to sing that. Isn't that a song? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. And you could just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You put a song in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, God, for God, you're good. Thank you, Lord, your kingdom's coming soon. Thank you, God, that I have eternal life. Thank you, God. You know what? When you begin to praise God with your mouth, nothing but good will come from it. That's an amazing thing. Redirecting our minds and praising God all day long, singing praises to him and giving thanks. That only happens when you know God. And you can only know God by knowing his word, letting the word of Christ saturate your lives. May the world know God through us, his children. And they can only do that if we are characterized not just by what we do, but by our speech. Our speech needs to be holy speech, kind speech, edifying speech, uplifting speech, encouraging speech. And if you're in Christ, if you're a new creature, then you have a new heart. You have new desires. You have new things that you want to do, and you should have a new way that you want to talk. Let me close with this question. If somebody paid you $1,000 for every kind word that you gave to people, and they took away $1,000 every time you badmouth somebody, would you be rich or poor. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship, the folks that have turned out. Lord, we just pray for all the things that we'll have today. And Lord, may we just praise you in everything that we do. Our whole purpose is to give you glory, God. And we pray that we do that in everything that we do every day, praising your name, singing praises, just thanking you for everything that comes our way. That's the best way to redirect our tongue, to allow you to have full control so that you can, oh, Lord, only you deserve all praise. And so we should never be bad-mouthing anybody. We should have a different way that we speak. Father, we just thank you for our day. Commit this week to you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.